Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in 2 Corinthians to chapter 5. We are beginning the chapter today. We're going to be reading the first 10 verses of this chapter. Hear now God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. Some of my most vivid memories as a child come from dwelling in tents. I enjoyed quite a bit when I was younger, hiking and camping. And some of those vivid memories are good and pleasant, and some are not quite so pleasant. Having a river run through the old pup tent, this is before tents had floors in them, and back when they were just rubberized canvas and weighed a whole lot, and you had to trench, and sometimes you'd get a river right through the middle of your tent in the middle of the night. Didn't want to touch the canvas because it'd start to leak on you. Or the time that a bear stuck his paw into my tent. Some of those are quite less pleasing memories. But one thing I always enjoyed, and that was going home from the camping trip. As much as I enjoyed being out in the woods and there with friends, I really enjoyed going home. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking to us about going home. He's talking about going home to a real house and not just a tent. And so, you, Christian, you and I are experiencing a dwelling in this life that Paul calls our earthly tent. And what happens is you and I also as Christians long for going home. We long to go to live forever with the Lord in a heavenly building. And so Paul talks about those things to us, things that we all experience now, and what as Christians we will experience then. He begins by saying, we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. Now remember, Paul has just, in the last chapter as we saw, Paul has just exhorted us to fix our eyes, fix our gauge, our attention on things that we cannot see, things that are invisible to the human eye, rather than things that are seen all around us. And he's reminded us about that because he's told us that the things that we cannot see are eternal, whereas the things that you and I see around us all the time are merely temporary. If that's an obvious truth, if you ever tried to go home again when you discovered that the house that you grew up in has been torn down and is now a football field, or the house that you lived in has the whole yard removed so that the street can be wide, things like that, you know that, or where my grandmother used to live, it doesn't exist any longer. You can't go home again in this life. Everything that exists in this world is temporary. If it's not torn down for construction, it will fall down eventually. No matter how well built it is, it will not last into eternity. And so, the things you see around you are temporary. But the things that you cannot see, that you are aware of as a Christian, those things are eternal in the heavens. And so Paul is reminding his Corinthian friends, as well as us, that the fact that we know this, and this knowledge doesn't come from within us. It's not because we're so smart. It comes from God, the Holy Spirit. He is the one who reveals these things to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. Yet, you and I still live in the physical world. We still live in physical human bodies. And Paul describes the body that you inhabit right now as the earthly tent, which is our house. Now, he was a tent maker. Remember, that's what Paul did by trade. He knew about tents. He knew that tents are designed not to be permanent, but to be taken down and moved from place to place. Perhaps Paul was thinking about, as he says this, that tent that we read about in the Old Testament. There was the tent of meeting where Moses met with the people of God as the Israelites were in their wilderness wanderings for 40 years. And then there was the tabernacle, which was based upon that idea of that tent. You'll remember that that tabernacle reflected the presence of God with His people. And the tabernacle was taken down every time God wanted them to move. The cloud would move, and the tabernacle was torn down, and it was carried from place to place, and then it was set up again. So Paul is using this term tent, and he's using it to stress something important that we need to keep in mind, and that is the very temporary nature of your human body. No matter how young you are right now, and it looks like you've got eternity ahead of you because you're young, no matter how old you are, and it looks like you're facing the very doorstep to eternity, your body is a temporary home right now. And what he's saying is, you're going to die. Your tent will be torn down one day. Instead of describing a house with foundations that remains in one place, Paul talks about transience. He talks about dismantling. He talks about a tent being taken down and folded up. And when he uses the term torn down, it's a term that refers to total destruction. Total destruction. No matter how well preserved your body is, no matter how well embalmed it is, it will return to dust, because the curse of God upon Adam and upon all of us is dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so, in one statement, Paul is saying two things. He's saying, you are living right now in a mortal body that is temporary, and that body will be destroyed when you die. He's saying those two things. However, there is really good news as he goes on and says, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For us Christians, we know that death is not the end. The body may be temporary, the body may be destroyed, but we have a permanent dwelling that is provided for us by God Himself. It is a building, notice, not a tent, but a building. It's got foundations. You read throughout Scripture and see that illustration of the building. The foundation is the Old Testament prophets and the children of Israel, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. It's the foundation with Christ as the cornerstone. It's a building in the heavens. It's a house, Paul says, not a tent. And it's not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. It will never be torn down. This is that very dwelling place that the Lord Jesus Christ promised His disciples as He was preparing to go to the cross. In John chapter 14, you'll recall Jesus said to them, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so there's this contrast that Paul is drawing here between these two types of dwellings, and it's a startling contrast. The present body is a tent. The future spiritual body is a building. It is a house. The present physical body is temporary, it's transient. The future body is eternal and will never be torn down. That future body is made without hands, which means that it is God who makes it, not man. So Christian, you and I one day are going to die. I don't know when, but I know that if you live and Christ does not come back during your lifetime, you will die. And when you die, your body will be placed into the ground and your body will return to dust. Now, we saw a very wonderful promise. We were looking at the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the Catechism deals with what the Scripture teaches, and that is that even that dust that is your body is still connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not insignificant. It is important. But your body will return to dust. Your spirit will return to God who gave it. And you will receive a glorified, resurrected spiritual body at the last day, at the day of judgment. But what happens to you between death and the resurrection? Paul talks in terms of being clothed and not clothed in verses 2 through 4. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. There are not three bodies here. Please don't misunderstand what he's saying. There are not three bodies. There's not a present physical body. There's not a temporary, intermediate spiritual body, and then a final, glorified, resurrected body. That's not what he's saying. There are only two bodies in Scripture that we find at all, and that first one is your present physical body, and the other one is your future glorified, resurrected spiritual body. So what happens to you between your death and your resurrection? We call this the intermediate state. It's for all men between death and the final resurrection. But instead of having a special spiritual body in that state, you are said to be, as Paul describes it here, unclothed or naked. And that's a way of describing your existence as a bare, glorified spirit without a human body attached in heaven. You go to heaven, you're there in spirit, but your body is still in the grave. And that body will only be reunited to your spirit when a resurrection takes place. So Paul says that in this house, this physical body, we groan. We groan because we long for the consummation when we will be clothed with that glorified, resurrected body that God Himself will supply. That's a wonderful thing because think about it. If we return to dust, God has to reconstitute our bodies but make them so that they are the same and yet different, just like Christ's resurrection body. And so, even if a person perishes, like those folks who died at Hiroshima, that were burned up so that there was absolutely nothing left from the atomic blast, their bodies will be reconstituted to stand before God on the day of judgment. A person who's died and drowned at sea, and his body has been dissolved by seawater and eaten by fish, that body will be reconstituted and resurrected to stand before God on the final day of judgment. There is nothing that can destroy forever the ability of God to restore that body to stand before Him on the final day of judgment. It will be a different and yet connected body. So what takes place to the people? Paul talks in Thessalonians. He talks about what takes place to people who are still alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They have a unique position. Rather than dying and having their soul separated from their bodies, they are clothed over with an immortal, glorified, resurrected body at that time. And they alone, that last generation, whoever they are, will not pass through death, but the transformation will be as though they had died and then been resurrected, but they won't have to go through that separation. And so he uses the term to be clothed, which means to put on an additional garment, like an overcoat. But But all of us, the rest of us, those of us who will die before Christ returns, our bodies will go to the grave and our spirits will go to heaven if we're Christians. But this is not the final, nor is this the desirable end for us. We, like Paul, do not want to be naked souls. We do not want to be unclothed. We want to be those who are clothed with renewed, resurrected bodies. And so the longing that Paul expresses here for us is not to merely remain disembodied spirits after death, but to have our souls reunited with glorified bodies in the resurrection. We do want our mortal bodies changed, but we want that change to be our mortality being swallowed up by eternal life. Paul has told us that. We saw that when we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And God has prepared us for this. The Holy Spirit is the one who has been given to us as a pledge that this will take place. God has prepared us. He has diligently worked in our lives by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as Christians. And He is preparing us for service forever in His kingdom. He did that with the Apostle Paul, for example. He brought him through a certain amount of education prior to Paul's conversion. Then He brought him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He submitted him to various temptations and trials and troubles and difficulties throughout his entire ministry in order to prepare him to live in His presence forever. Now, what that means for you and me is every single thing that you and I undergo is for a purpose sent to us by God. Every one of these things, we have to look at them. Every one of these things, whether it's good or bad, is preparation for our service to God, both in this life and throughout all eternity. God's given us the Spirit as His pledge. The Holy Spirit guarantees to us that God will accomplish everything He promises us in Christ. The Holy Spirit is a down payment, a first installment, a guarantee that the rest of the promises of the resurrection shall certainly come true and be fulfilled. And therefore, we know, without a shadow of a doubt, Christian, we know that we will be brought into the presence of Almighty God following our death. And then Paul talks about being pleasing to the Lord, being at home with Him. Therefore, verse 6, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord's given the Holy Spirit to us. He's a pledge. And as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, He enables you and me to have good courage, to not be afraid of what the future may bring. All fear, Christian, all fear ought to fade away when we realize that God is in control of every event of our lives. We know that while we're at home in these bodies on earth, we are absent from the Lord. That these two terms that Paul uses, one means being at home, and the other one actually means being away from home. And it was a term that was described, that was used to describe living in your own home country versus having to live abroad, living in another country. What Paul knew that the Corinthian Christians experienced was sometimes for them having to live abroad and being away from their church and being in the midst of paganism meant that they felt like they were far from God, they were away from the Lord. But when Paul uses this term, he's talking about our being in this world, which is a world of sinful rebellion against God, and yet not being of the world. We are not like the world. We are to be different from the world in every single respect. Being at home, as Paul uses it, he's talking about being in your physical body right now. And the implication of what he says in verse 6 is once you die, then you are going to go to be at home with the Lord. He's going to say that when we get to verse 8. But in the meantime, we're not there yet. And we have to know how to live, how to walk in this world that is not going to last forever. And the way we learn to live and to walk is by faith and not by sight. Same thing he said earlier about keeping your eyes fixed on that which is eternal, which is invisible, rather than on that which is around you. And so we look at this world through eyes of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not through mere physical observation. We remember that what we see, everything I see right now, everyone I see right now is temporary. Only the things that we cannot see are eternal. So I see your bodies. I cannot see your souls, but your souls are eternal. Verse 8 says, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Paul desired, he wanted to leave his physical body behind and go to be at home, to change residences and to have a permanent home in the heaven with the Lord. That's the same truth that he told the Philippians when he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But then he confessed. He said, I don't know what I want to choose. He said, for I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. And of course, he knew that if he stayed on in the body, he would be of service to the Christians here below. And so he said he was willing to do that for Christ. But though he wanted to leave his physical body, though he wanted to enter heaven and be in the presence of the Lord, Paul would have preferred, his best joy would have been to be alive when Jesus returned so he wouldn't have to go through that separation of body and soul and being unclothed, but rather be transformed immediately. But he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is at all times ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens. And he knows that when he does die, that he will enter into the presence of the Lord immediately. So Paul's ready to die. He's ready to die for Christ and the gospel. He's ready to do what the Lord calls him to do because he knows what we ought to know, Christian, and that is that the second he died, he would be instantly in God's presence. And we know the same thing through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ today, you know that the second you die, you will be ushered into the immediate presence of God through Christ. He literally says, in a very descriptive way, he wants to go on home to and be with the Lord. That's his joy. That's his desire, to go on home to and be with the Lord. As much a home as this world is to us right now in our physical bodies, our real home, our real building is in heaven with God through Christ. And we go on home to Him and we are with Him forever. Paul knows the same truth that the psalmist explained in Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth. He knows the Lord's with us here, but He knows that there is also a relationship that continues not only in this life, but through death. And so once you leave your body, Christian, you are forever in the Lord's presence. And that means that you are at home with Him. Therefore, he says, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In conclusion, what Paul's saying is that whether he is at home in this physical body on earth or absent, which is apart from this physical body and therefore in the presence of Christ, his desire is to please the Lord. That's what he wants to do. That's what we ought to want to do as well. He's exhorting us to please God no matter whether we live or die. He's telling us that our top priority ought to always be to please God. And one reason that you're to seek to please Him is that at the end of this life, when the judgment day comes, at the resurrection, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice Paul doesn't say everybody's going to stand there except Christians. He says everybody's going to stand there. Everybody. We will all, he's speaking to Christians, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means that all men from all nations throughout all times in history will stand before Christ for judgment. No one's exempt. Everyone will appear at the summons to stand before the judge. And the judgment handed down by the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be based on your conduct on earth. What? Wait a minute. This isn't salvation by works, is it? No, it's not. What he's talking about is the judgment will be based on the evidence given in your life as to whether or not you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those who have faith in Christ will give evidence of that faith by the good that they do. And those who have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will give evidence of lack of faith by the evil that they do. When Christ returns, everything, good and bad, will be revealed. Christ will assign recompense to each individual based on the deeds done in the body while on earth. It's the same thing that Jesus says at the end of the book of Revelation. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. So Paul is telling us that God accepts us not because our works are meritorious. Our works are stained with sin. Your very best good work, Christian, no matter what it is, no matter how much you think that you can, that it is praiseworthy and full of glory, no matter how good you are, no matter how good your works are, your best good works are tainted and stained with sin. Therefore, in order to stand before God, you need to have spotless, perfect works. And you do. If you're a Christian, you have imputed to you the meritorious, spotless work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are received before God based on Christ's perfect work of salvation. And because you and I are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, our works also are accepted by God, though those works themselves are imperfect and tainted with sin. And so ourselves and our works are cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. Our recompense is given in proportion to the attempts that we make at loving and faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of God? Are you ready right now? Are you willing to leave this body and leave this world behind forever and go into the presence of the Lord? Are you prepared to give an account before God of every thought, every word, and every deed you have ever said or done? Are your works in keeping with your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you say you're a Christian on Sunday, but you live like a child of hell throughout the week, you think that matches? If not, turn from your sin today. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, as he is offered in the gospel. The one who comes to Christ, Christ promises, he will never turn away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truths that your word teaches here, that you inspired your apostle Paul to write to these Corinthian Christians long ago and yet are so relevant to our situation in our day as well. We thank you for this longing that Paul had and how he explains it to us and how this ought to be our very longing as well, to be at home with you forever. And so, Lord, bless us to look forward to that day when our tent is folded up and when we find that house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, but prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Bless us, O God, to long for that and to look forward to that and to find that through Christ. We ask that you would forgive our sins. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.